Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your words of encouragement. And Father, we thank you that you are our helper in our time of need, and that you'll always be there, you're always available, and you always have the answer that we need. We thank you for your love and your compassion. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, sometimes when you begin to look at passages of Scripture, sometimes you have to dig real hard and real deep sometimes to try and come up with, I don't like to use the word outline, but I guess it's the best word I can use. Sometimes a passage of Scripture is real hard to come up with an outline, a picture of what the writer is trying to say to us. And sometimes you can dig and dig and dig and still not have a clear picture of what the writer is trying to say. But sometimes God just lays it all out for you. Okay, you don't have to do a lot of digging to find out how the passage of Scripture is to be presented. And when I get a text from somebody a day or two before I'm supposed to preach, those are the kind of passages I start looking for, okay? Because the preparation time sometimes is not quite as long if you've got a passage of Scripture that's already kind of laid out for you, okay? And this Psalm 121 is like that. I want you to take your copy of the Scripture, and I just want to show you some things because this is not only helpful for the message this morning, it's helpful for you in your Bible, your personal Bible study, to see how the writer has laid out the passage of Scripture. Now, I don't know how your Bible punctuation is marked. Mine uses a dash. Yours may use a colon or a semicolon. But I want you to look at the first part of verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. My Bible has a dash right after that. Look down in verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. There's another dash. Verse 5. The Lord watches over you. Another dash. Verse number 7. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Another dash. Now, whatever the punctuation is in your version of the Scripture, I've got four dashes there in that one psalm. If you get to looking at it, those are the four major points of what the writer is trying to get across to us, okay? Each one of those little phrases with a dash behind it is an important point in the writer's message, okay? So we can take those and we can really dig into what the writer is trying to say to us. And what we find out is that in verses 1 and 2, we have a confirmation or a confession of our faith and our trust in the God who is our helper. And then in those other verses, those other three points, we have assurances that God will help us in specific areas of our life when we need help. So we've got one confession to start off with. We trust and we believe that God is our helper in our time of need. And then the writer gives us three different assurances that God will indeed help us in these certain areas of life. when we need him. So I want us to look, first of all, at the confession of our faith and our trust in the God who is our helper. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Now, this psalm is what's called a song of ascent. And a lot of people believe that as the Jewish worshipers were making their journey to the temple for one of the feasts, whether it was Passover or whatever, when they had to make that journey to Jerusalem for that feast, that they would encounter a lot of dangers along the way. And of course, the spiritual application here is that as we are going through our journey of life, there are a lot of things that we encounter on that journey. A lot of dangers, a lot of trials, a lot of troubles. And as they were making their way on this journey, they would finally get to the place where they could see in the distance. Jerusalem is built in a mountain range that has 7 different mountains in it. You've all heard the expression in Scripture, we are going to go up to Jerusalem. Well, that literally was true, because when you made your journey to Jerusalem, you were going up, okay? Because Jerusalem was built in that mountain range. So when the writer here says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, okay, he's talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of where God was worshipped. That's where the temple was at. That's where the people came to worship God during these different feasts of the year. And they would make that journey. And as they faced all those dangers along the way, they would finally look up and say, here's Jerusalem. I'm looking up to where God dwells, okay? Where does my help come from? They knew where it came from. They knew that their help came from God. Some translations don't present that as a question, but I think from what I read, it's more aptly translated when it's presented as a question. They looked up towards Jerusalem, God's dwelling place, and they said, where does my help come from? And then in verse 2, he quickly gives us the answer, because he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. Now, I think it's interesting to note here that the focus is not on the help that we receive from God. The focus is on God Himself. My help comes from the God who is my helper. The focus is always on God. We like to make the focus on the help that we're going to get, don't we? But we could never lose sight of the truth that help comes from the God who is our helper. And the psalmist knew this. He knew that the only real lasting help is the help that God gives to us. God has no limitations. God's help will always be just exactly what we need. Never too much, never too little. It will always be exactly what we need. I think here we see a confession on the part of the psalmist that he knows that his help could come from God. But he also believes that that help will come from God. Do you think there's a difference between knowing that God will help me and believing that he will? I think all of us in our minds believe the truth that God could help me in this situation that I'm in. But there's a difference when we say, I believe that he will help me. And that's what the psalmist is saying to us here. He knows without a doubt that God will help him in his time of trouble. It says, the God who is my helper is the maker of heaven and earth. The God who just opened his mouth and spoke the universe into existence. Do you think that God has enough power to help me with whatever I'm dealing with in life? He's just not a God. He is the God who is the maker of heaven and earth. And he is the one that will help me when I need it the most. The creator of all is also the one that will defend all of us, okay, in our time of need. Now, I want to make something clear here if I can. A lot of times we look at life from a physical standpoint and then a spiritual standpoint. And we have the tendency a lot of time to separate those two. God doesn't do that. In God's eyes, everything is spiritual. Even the physical part of our life is spiritual to God, okay? Because everything that happens to you and I, whether it's physical in nature or spiritual, it all has an impact on our spiritual life. Does not the scripture tell us that God uses all things and works all things together for our good if we love him? That means physical things or spiritual things. God works them all together for his good and for our good. God doesn't make that distinction between the physical life and the spiritual life. Because everything that happens to us is spiritual to God. It has a spiritual purpose. And that purpose is to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. To conform us to his image. So when we look at this psalm, and we look at these three assurances that the psalmist gives us, I want us to keep that thought in mind. The ultimate goal of God deals with the spiritual part of our life. Okay? How many of us would be honest to say this morning that in my life, I focus more on the physical? God's more concerned with the spiritual, okay? Because to him, everything is spiritual. And he's going to take what happens in our physical life and he's going to help us spiritually to become more like Jesus Christ. So he's made his confession of faith and trust in the Lord who will be his helper. And now he goes on to give us three assurances how that help is going to be given to you and I. And the first one is found in verses 3 and 4. And it's the assurance that God will help us to stand firm. God will help us to stand firm. Listen to what he says. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Anybody ever been mountain climbing up in the mountains? You get on a real steep path. What happens if you're not careful? You're going to slip, okay? What happens in our spiritual life? Even if we're trying to follow God, if we get distracted, if we get deceived by Satan, what's going to happen even to a believer sometimes in our spiritual walk? We're going to slip. We're going to stumble. Sometimes we might even fall, okay? The psalmist says here, he will not let your foot slip. Now, who is he? God, who is our helper. Now, I think there's a reference here to you and I. We can either walk in what the Bible calls the flesh, or we can walk in the Spirit. And what is God's promise to us as believers if we walk in His Spirit? Is His promise not that we will not slip? We will not stumble? John said in 1 John, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And then Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Folks, when you and I are following God, when we're walking in the Spirit, God's promise to us is He will not let our foot slip. We have to take our eyes off of the one who is our helper and start walking in the flesh. And when we start walking in the flesh, guess what's going to happen? We're going to slip and we're going to stumble. Okay. So God's promise here, His assurance here is that if we follow Him, He will not let our foot slip. Now, why? Because He watches over you and He will never slumber. Any of y'all slept last night? I just raised my hand like this because I didn't sleep a whole lot, okay? But I did sleep some. God never sleeps. God never gets tired. God never gets exhausted. God never takes His eye off of you and I. God knows our condition 24/7. You remember in the Old Testament when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel and he was confronting the prophets of Baal, and he said, challenged them to a contest, and he said, you put your offerings on the altar there, then you call to your God, and whichever God brings down fire and consumes the offering, he's the real God. And he said, I'm going to let you guys go first, okay? And he said, they started calling out to their God and nothing happened. You remember one of the things Elijah said? Holler a little bit louder. Maybe he's asleep. Okay? Our God never sleeps. Okay? Our God is never not aware of what's going on in your life. How many times have you said when you're in a difficult situation, nobody knows what I'm going through? Somebody does. God does. He always knows what we're going through. He always knows what we need in that particular time of our life. And He's always got the answer. God will never, ever sleep. And He will help us live this Christian life. Would y'all agree that Satan is going to throw every obstacle he can in front of the Christian to try to make us stumble? To try and make us lose our testimony? Some of those things he throws in front of us may be physical in nature, okay? They may be illness. They may be financial difficulties. They may be relationship problems. It could be all kinds of things. And Satan is going to throw those things out there in front of us to try to make us stumble, okay? God said, if you'll just follow me, okay? You'll just follow me. He's not telling us he's going to do away with all of those things. He's just telling us you'll know how to deal with those things. You'll know how to handle those things. Because your God knows exactly what's going on, and he will help you to stand firm and not stumble. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says. Now, it is God who makes both us and you to stand firm in Christ. God is the one who gives us the assurance that we can stand firm in him. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. The psalmist gives us an assurance here that we can stand firm, and God will enable us to stand firm. But there's a second assurance he gives, and that's the assurance of God's unfailing protection. Look in verses 5 and 6. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is our protector, okay? He watches out for us. And it doesn't matter whether it's day or whether it's night. Remember, this whole psalm is written originally in the context of a child of God making that journey up to Jerusalem for one of the festivals. Do you think those folks back in those days had air-conditioned cars to make that trip in? It got hot. It got cold. There were all kinds of dangers that they could encounter along the way. You remember the Good Samaritan? He ministered to that man. Why? Because some robbers had come along and robbed him and beat him up. There were all kinds of things that could happen. And the psalmist says here, the Lord watches over you. And it doesn't matter whether it's day or night. Okay, he will still protect you. Okay, now, that word shade, that's used in verse 5. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. That word shade means to be protected against oppression. Are Christians being oppressed in our world today? We think we are being oppressed here in America, don't we? But it's nothing like it is in some other countries around the world. But that word shade, the Lord will shade us, means he will protect us against oppression. Now, where does that oppression really come from? It comes from the devil, doesn't it, okay? He may use other people, but it really comes from Satan himself, okay? And the Lord is saying here, I will protect you. I will be your shade against all the oppression and all the evil that Satan brings your way. I am your protection. That word can also be translated our keeper, our defender, our preserver. Now, we have to look at this again in light to understand it. We have to look at it in light of our spiritual life, okay? Can those things disrupt our physical life? Sure they can. They can make our physical life real difficult sometimes, can't they? But can any of that touch our salvation? Satan can't do anything that's going to affect our salvation. It is secure. God has protected us, okay? Nothing can take my salvation away from me. It doesn't matter how bad Satan does. My salvation is secure in the Lord because God is my protector. He saved me from the penalty of sin when Jesus died on the cross. He is saving me every day from the power of sin to control my life. And one of these days, he's going to save me from the very presence of sin when he takes me home with him. Okay? He is our protector. He's our defender. The third assurance found in verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. He gives us that third assurance that God is with us in every area of our life. Have you ever had times where there were things going on in your life? They weren't what you would call just real big problems, but they were smaller problems. And Satan puts that thought in your mind, you know, I really just don't even need to bother the Lord with this. Psalmist just got through telling us, the Lord watches over all of your life. Not just the big problems, everything that's going on. He knows it, okay? He's concerned about it. Had a friend when we lived out in Monahans, and she gave a testimony one time about God caring about the little things. And she was out working in the yard. Nice yard, big, thick grass. And while she was working, she lost one of her contacts. She said she just felt prompted by the Lord to stop right there and pray and ask the Lord to help her. And guess what happened as soon as she opened her eyes from saying her prayer? There was her contact laying right in front of her. Okay. God cares about the little things as well. Okay. The psalmist says he watches over your whole life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going. Now, how many times do we get up in the morning and we either go to work or we go to school? Or if we're retired, we still have to get up and go do something, okay? For all you guys that thought retirement was a breeze, got bad news for you. I've been busier since I retired than I ever was when I was working. Okay. How many times, though, do we get up and before we go out, we pray and we ask the Lord to guide and direct every step of our day? He says, I'm watching. I'm watching over your going out. And I'm watching over your coming in. How many times do we go out and do what we're going to do all day long and then come back home and stop and thank God for everything that he did for us during that day. He's not concerned just about those big things that happened to us. He's concerned about our whole life. He's concerned about what we do at work. He's concerned about what we do at school. He's concerned about what we do with our retirement time, okay? And even those little things that don't seem important to us, they're important to God. He says he will watch over your life. He watches over your coming and your going. And not just now, but forevermore. To me, the psalmist is saying, God watches over me as I go through this journey of life. But he's also going to watch over me when I make that final coming back home. Isn't that what Psalm 23 says? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. God cares about all of our life, from the beginning to the end. He's there to help us, okay? And we just have to call out to him. We have to realize, first of all, that he's there. And we have to realize that he wants to help us. Read an illustration about a man. It was a man who wanted his son to grow up and to be a man. So he devised this little test. And he blindfolded his son and took him out into the woods where he had never been before. A strange place. Still had his blindfold on. And he set him down on a little stump there. And it was just about the time it was getting dark. And he said, son, the best way for you to become a man is I want you to sit here on this stump with this blindfold on all night long. And I don't want you to take it off until you see the rays of the sun in the morning start to shine through that blindfold. He said, you're going to sit right here all night with that blindfold on. Well, the little boy, he heard every kind of noise you can imagine. Some of them were real. Some of them were imagined, okay? But he imagined every kind of critter and animal that you could think of coming and getting him while he was sitting there on that stump. Scared to death, okay? But he wanted to be obedient to his father. So he left that blindfold on all night. And when he started to see the first rays of the sun come through that blindfold, he reached back, took the blindfold off, and guess what he saw? His father had been sitting right there next to him all night. Sometimes in our life, things get so dark and so bad that we just feel like we're all alone. There's nobody there to help us. But the reality is, God's right there all the time. He never left. We've just lost our focus. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and the earth. And he is always there. He never leaves us. And I guarantee you that dad never went to sleep all night. The little boy probably didn't either, okay? But his dad didn't go to sleep either. God's there for us. You have a need today in your life that you need some help. God's here, and he wants to help. And there's no need that's too big for God to meet. We just have to call out to him. And we have to believe that he's there, okay? and that he's able to do everything that he says that he will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Father, that you love us. And thank you that you're always there to help us in our time of need. Lord, we just pray this morning that if there's someone here this morning that's dealing with some issues in their life and they just don't know where to turn, Lord, we pray they'll turn to you this morning because, Father, you have the answers that they need. Lord, as humans, we can help. But Lord, we have limitations. But Lord, you don't have those limitations. You're all powerful. And you can meet any need in any life, whatever it is. So we just ask you to do that this morning, Lord. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.